I still hold that it's one of the most scandalous ideas to modern society, but it lies at the very root of all we believe and are called to as followers of Jesus. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. It's 11 o'clock Central, and that means it's time for some spiritual direction. Each day on the program, we seek to give you some inspiration and encouragement for living out your faith today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. Look at that. Hey, listen to this. Give this a try. It can wait. Put it off. Wouldn't this feel good? Wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't this make you feel better? Wouldn't this make you happy? You need this. You deserve it. You're worth it. Is it really all that bad? Why not? What could possibly happen? How bad could it be? And the classic, did God really say? In this earthly life, we swim in an absolute sea of temptation. Some arise from within our God-given passions, either to misdirect them or to overindulge them. Some are more obviously direct attacks from the enemy at opportune times. Some are overt, some are more subtle, but they all get back to that very first question of the devil himself. Did God really say? Even the question itself prompts a perspective that counters reality. It suggests that we ourselves are and should be the sole determiner of our choices. That true freedom lies in our ability to make independent choices, free of any sort of outside imposition or consideration. And there, friends, there is the idea that I believe to be one of the most scandalous to our modern society, but that lies at the very heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, that your life is not your own. In life and in death, St. Paul reminds us, we belong to God. Further, I think one of the reasons the enemy tries so hard to make us deny this fact is that he knows that when we are the sole determiner of our choices, almost always we will make those choices based on our own appetites, passions, and desires, which will serve to separate us from God. So, Satan offers you and me the same offer he made to Adam and Eve, temptation. Temptation to act independently of God, independently of reason, and independently of the natural law. So, in this sea of temptation, what do? Today on the program, we're talking about temptation. It was a reality in the earthly life of our Lord, and it remains an earthly reality for every one of his disciples. How do you face the many temptations in your life in a way that will truly lead to your happiness? Let's find out as we begin our discussion with our spiritual director for today, Father John Eckert. Father Eckert is the pastor of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. Hello, Father. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Patrick. Always good to be with you.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, kind of leading off with this great topic of temptation today, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. So any reflections, responses, or issues you would take with me in my open there?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you did a nice job of sort of presenting kind of a cloud of temptations, let's just call
yeah,
it. You know, like all those different things. You deserve it. What's the harm? And as you said, that the big bad one of them all from Genesis 3, the serpent talking to our first parents, did God really say? Yeah. And if you continue that on, did God really say you can't eat from any of the trees of the garden?
Yeah.
You know, it's a sinister, diabolical temptation because he makes it sound so much worse, you know? Of course he didn't say they couldn't eat from any of the trees of the garden. They were eating. They were happy. They were in communion with him. I mean, they had everything they could want. And yet he implanted that little bit of doubt of making them think God doesn't really want them to be happy, to be fulfilled.
Right.
And therein lies, you know, the tricks of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
To make us think ultimately that, you know, that God is some sort of, don't know, a competitor with us, that his will for us is not really what's best for us. You know, it would be better if I just, I don't know, hit the snooze again and again. And if I just, you know, spend more time on the internet rather than with my loved ones, you know, and just on and on and on. I mean, you can keep going with all the different things we get tempted to. And as you said, I mean, sometimes there's a temptation that is just clearly, obviously against our own good, and we're able to reject it. But the devil is very, very subtle. He knows, right, what he's doing. And let's be honest, he's been at this a lot longer than we have.
That's a good point.
So quoting Genesis 3, it's like, there he is, third chapter in on the Bible. He's already at work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I forget which psalm it is, but it's like, what, we have 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. Like, we don't have the amount of time, the intellect, all these things that the devil has. And when you were giving that like cloud of temptations, it's overwhelming. It's scary. But the reason why I use that term cloud is, you know, the letter to the Hebrews talks about the great cloud of witnesses. We have the saints that go before us, who have shown us that it's possible to live in this valley of tears amidst all these temptations. And pardon my French, but to tell the devil to go back to hell, you know, it's like we can keep moving. It is possible, by the grace of God, by the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to overcome the devil and his lies. Yeah. And we got back on the second Sunday of Lent once again. The first Sunday of Lent, we got the battle of Jesus with the devil and the temptations in the desert. We had Mark this year, which is the shortest of them all, but still it goes right to the point. The devil tempted him in the desert, and our Lord didn't shy away from that. He didn't refuse the fight, and he came away victorious. And we know that if we cling to him, we can be victorious as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, amen to that. And I'm grateful that obviously the victory lies with our Lord, and we can continue on in pursuit of our own happiness in conjunction with him, because he really knows us much better than we know ourselves even. And so
exactly,
he is out there, right, to provide that for us. But so what, I mean, what's the end goal here, Father? I guess I am asking you to speak on behalf of the devil himself, but I mean, why? Why tempt us? What is he interested in? Because I don't think he's interested in us, either our happiness or unhappiness at the end of the day.
Well, you think about this, like, so if you can't get at the one that you hate, you get at the one that is loved by the one that you hate, right?
There you
go.
So
it's he can't attack our Heavenly Father. He's been cast out of heaven, you know, by an angel much lower in the choir of angels. I mean, Michael is a mere archangel. Lucifer is at the highest level, right? And the humility of Michael overcomes the pride of Satan. He has his epic fall. And as we hear in Revelation, I mean, he goes forth to wage war on the children of God. I mean, he goes after God's beloved, and that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we find ourselves in the midst of this. It's according to God's permissive will. He allows these things to happen, right? But as we face down the temptations, you know, just like our Lord did in the desert, and here we find ourselves in this time of year that we imitate that, right? That he sanctified that time of 40 days. And, you know, we face down the devil and his temptations. And I think, okay, here we are. We're very much at the midway point of Lent.
Yep.
We had our school mass this morning. I asked one of our little guys, Lucas, or I asked them all. I said, you know, how many days ago was Ash Wednesday? I thought it'd be a generic answer. He said, 22 days. I'm like, wow, good job, buddy. We are 22 days into Lent, you know, and so we are at the midway point.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, you've fallen in some of your Lenten resolutions. I mean, mm-hmm. we are weak. I mean, this isn't a period of the year to prove how awesome we are and how good we are at saying no to ourselves and everything. I mean, it's remembering the fact that, yeah, we do need to discipline ourselves. We do need to grow in those, you know, spiritual practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, but we can't do it by ourselves. And our Lord gives us, I mean, himself in the Eucharist. He gives us, you know, his reconciliation and the beautiful sacrament by that name, which we also call penance and confession. I mean, he wants us with him. And so we go through these spiritual practices to sort of, you know, train ourselves more and more to say yes to him. I was thinking about this once again this morning at Mass with the prayer over the offering. So, you know, just before the preface, it said, "Cleanse your people, Lord, we pray, from every taint of wickedness, that their gifts may be pleasing to you, and do not let them cling to false joys. For you promise them the rewards of your truth through Christ our Lord." And when you think about that, the false joys, that's what the devil has on offer, right? Like, okay, you know what? Just, I don't know, just be unfaithful to your spouse. I mean, look at this person. They're very attractive. What'll happen? They'll never know. Like, okay, that is a false joy. That is not going to lead to happiness. And of course, we can say things much smaller than that. But the devil puts forward these things like, come on, it's not that bad. Like, you really need this. But they're false joys. They don't lead to happiness. And the devil ultimately does not want us to be happy. He wants to hold us in the bondage of sin. And our Lord wants us free to live in the light of his love and his truth. And it's so much greater than the lies and the false joys that the devil has on offer for us.
Yeah, false joys. Just a lot of wisdom in just a couple of words from our liturgy as well, which is fantastic. It's a good summary of what the devil has on offer. Like you said, he doesn't have the true joy. That belongs to our Lord alone. But he has a warped and false joy for us as well. Well, we're talking about temptation today here on the program with our spiritual director, Father John Eckhart. How do you face temptation? How do you handle it? Because I'm sure it comes into your life. So what do you do when you're experiencing temptation? How have you experienced God's grace, perhaps, to help you in your struggle over sin and weakness? Maybe there's certain temptations that you've overcome with the help of grace. Love to hear from you at 888-914-9149. That's our toll-free studio line, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Again, the number is 888-914-9149. And as always, if you'd prefer, you can send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. All right, I got a couple of people calling in, Father. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Mary calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Good afternoon, Mary. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. I was thinking of something that a nun told me years ago. When we're faced with temptations, There's that questioning of if, right? So, I mean, and even Satan does it to Jesus in the desert. You know, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And she was mentioning, this nun, that the word life, L-I-F-E, has the word if within it. And her point was, when you're making these, when you're tempted and you're having to make these, if I do this, whatever, if I don't do this, da da da. And her point was, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So kind of reflect on that when you're faced with these if decisions, because it's truly going to potentially impact your life, and it just reflects back on Christ as life.
Mary, that's beautiful. I don't know what you need me for. I mean, you've already got this. This is great. I mean, you might as well be the spiritual director for today, Mary. It was great. I've never heard that before, but I love it. And you're absolutely right. Once again, it's the doubts that the devil wants to put in there. Did God really say that he never wants you to be happy at all? You know, it's like, okay, for example, so I'm a celibate priest, right? And so if there are temptations against celibacy, it's like, did God really say he wants you to be alone all your life? And it's like, you know, there's that if. Like, if you keep following him, aren't you just going to be lonely? It's like, well, wait a second. He has called me to the fullness of life. You know, Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly, right? And so when we reject the devil's ifs, it's like, no, wait a second. Like, he's asked me to make this sacrifice to give my whole heart to him. It's like, you know, Peter after the resurrection, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love me. Feed my sheep. So there's a sacrifice, and there is a sacrifice in following our Lord, right? There isn't, you know, an if there. Like, okay, if you fast from this lunch, aren't you going to be hungry? Yeah, I am. But you know what? I'm not going to die. And skipping a meal, like, okay, that helps me to be in solidarity with the poor, with people that don't have a choice, that have to give that up. I've got money now that I can give to help and alleviate some suffering. And I find out that, wait a second, I've actually been eating way too much. I don't need the full three a day. I'm actually doing fine on two. You know, like, there are different things when we allow the unfolding of life to take place. You know, there are always going to be challenges ahead of us. I mean, just leaving the house today. I mean, you face challenges. Oh, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? Okay, yeah, there are risks. There are challenges. But what's the alternative? Just like not taking risks, staying behind closed doors, just giving in to all of my, you know, immediate desires. That's not going to lead to the fullness of life. And our Lord doesn't want us to have this truncated version of if. He wants us to have the fullness of life. So Mary, right down the road from me, I'm in Salisbury, North Carolina. I'm grateful you said that today, because Sister was absolutely right. Like, we need the fullness of life, not just the devil's ifs.
God bless our sisters, our clergy, and all those who hand on the Catholic faith, and that Mary, the sister that gave you that insight into if and being right in the center of the word life. It's a great, great way, great reflection when we're tempted by something with the devil, you know, to say if you do this or if you don't do this, and think about life and what it means. Mary, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate that so much. And Father, you were just talking about, well, you know, yeah, there are challenges when we leave home. And I couldn't help my mind but go to, well, Jesus left his home, his perfection, yeah, with the Father in order to come here. And I would say there were some challenges that he knew he was going to face when he did that. And yet, for the sake of the salvation of the world, for sake of you and me, he did it.
Absolutely. And if you need a good scriptural reference for meditation on that, read Philippians 2:6-11. Yep. That though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be jealously clung to, but rather he emptied himself, right? He becomes one of us. He puts himself in a vulnerable position to come and be with us. And then even on a, you know, that his fully divine nature becoming fully human, and even in the midst of that fully humanness, he leaves the home at Nazareth, right? I mean, you think about the wedding feast at Cana, when Mary, you know, says they have no wine. Woman, what is that to me and you? Like, basically, like, Mary, do you understand what's happening? Like, okay, I'm going to do this first sign. People are going to begin to believe in me. It's never going to be quite the same. And she says, do whatever he tells you. Like, she has to make the sacrifice. He's going to leave home. He doesn't just stay, you know, in the comfortable home setting with our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, right? He goes out, he begins his public ministry, and he knows where that's going to end, right? Our Lord faces temptation out of love for us. And I would say, you know, especially in this Lent, we're called to imitate him. And so don't be afraid. I mean, yes, temptations will inevitably come, but cling to our Lord, keep taking the next step, and don't give in to the if, cling to life.
Amen to that. Yeah, we're talking about facing temptation today here on the program, something that is a reality for every human being that has ever lived, our Lord himself, our Blessed Mother, certainly, and every other one of us, always facing temptation. If you have a specific way that you have faced temptation in your life that seems to be very effective, or maybe there are temptations that are coming up even now and you're not sure what to do, well, ask the question of our spiritual director today, Father John Eckert, by giving us a call at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our first break, but we'll be back with more of The Inner Life right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. I just said thanks to our producer, Nick, for that, because that's now going to be going through my head all day long. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with MC Hammer.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but let's hope that our temptations cannot touch this. That's what we're talking about today. Resisting temptation in the spiritual life, something we face each and every day. Give us a call if you have some tips on avoiding temptation, or if you have questions about something you're facing right now and not sure how to handle it. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Nick, who's calling in Frankfort, Illinois. Nick, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, funny, I was on Patrick Shore earlier today, too. It seems the more I listen, the more I can get on these programs. It's such a beautiful radio station. Praise the Lord. I was thinking during the break, too, that, you know, temptation is a good thing. We have to realize that the closer we get to the Lord, the more we're going to be tempted. So if we're going downhill, we better make sure that we're uphill. It's an uphill struggle to the Lord. So temptation is a good thing. We just need to how to deal with it. And I am tempted all my life. I want to get closer to the Lord, so it's going to happen. It comes with the territory. Our sanctification will happen through it. And I think some of the greatest ways to fight temptation is to look at the capital virtues that combat the seven deadly sins. And if we think of those virtues and we can apply Scripture to some of our greatest problems, that we can combat temptation very easily, just like our Lord did in the desert. Those three temptations, what did he do? Combated each and every one of them with Scripture. Another way I think is great is just real practical ways. We think about when we're tired through the day and we look back and we say, well, I didn't get a good enough sleep. We're weak. We don't get our sleep, we're weak, and we're easily tempted also when we don't have a good sleep, when we don't exercise, when we eat wrong. All of these things weaken us, not only corporally, but spiritually. So our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. When we don't treat it that way, we're easily tempted, and we fall to it.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. And, it, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's all connected. St. Paul, I think it was, Jesus in the agony in the garden in the Gospel of Mark, you know, in seeing the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, asleep again. He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to keep going. We want to keep striving to grow in love. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the spiritual life on this side of the grave, I mean, it's a mountain. And you don't want to plateau. And there's always, you know, more and more to do. There's greater heights to climb to. And there's always going to be new challenges that arise. And so we want to keep striving to climb the mountain, basically. Our Lord wants us all to be canonizable saints. He doesn't just sort of settle with mediocrity, right? I love the line about our Heavenly Father. God is easy to please, but he's hard to satisfy. So it's one of those things where it's like, let's just say that you gave up soda for this Lent, and it's one of the hardest things you've ever had to do. You drank like four Diet Pepsis before noon, you know, and that keeps you going. And, you know, but you decide this year, Lord, I know just health-wise, it'd probably be a good idea maybe to set the soda to a side. And I'm going to try this out. I'm going to do my best. And you end up just having, let's just say, like one, you know, diet soda a day. I mean, that is a huge thing, a huge, you know, climb. But at the same time, like, you know, if you gave up soda years ago and you got it down to one, and then the next one you're like, you know, I'm going to do this again. And then you're like, wait, I don't even really like soda anymore. Like, I'm good. And then the next year, like, well, I guess I'll give up soda. Like, at that point, it's not hard like it used to be, where it seemed impossible in the beginning, that little by little you're climbing up the mountain and now you've got new challenges. It's like, okay, I need not just to give up soda. I really need to work at loving my annoying coworker, you know, whose cubicle is right next to mine, and he or she just is driving me nuts. You know, it's interesting. It's like I wonder, you know, how our Lord dealt with the chronically annoying. I bet he gave them, you know, the best that he could. But I mean, that's a tough thing to love that person even in their, you know, where they are. You know, and I like to say sometimes that the spiritual life is not just about like playing not to lose. We're playing to win, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to just merely avoid sin. We want to keep growing in charity. And so to do the good things our Lord has asked us to do, right? It's like shedding selfish behavior, you know, just like self-indulgent, let's just say tons of time on the internet, on various apps, on social media. Like shedding that, why? So that you have that time to then glorify God with your life and realize not the false joys that are just kind of ephemeral and quickly passing away, but the true and lasting joy of loving God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And that involves a big mountain climb. You're not going to get there tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. And one of the things Nick pointed out, Nick, thank you for the phone call. Great suggestions, great advice. But one of the things he points out that I think is worth revisiting and underscoring perhaps is that particularly our physical circumstances, we are physical beings. I mean, it's not just that we're keeping our souls from these things, but as physical beings, sometimes we can be more disposed to give in to temptation if we are, as Nick pointed out, tired, if we are lonely, if we are hungry, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's crucial to be aware of what's going on. Like, okay, I don't feel that well that right now. I'm kind of coming down with a cold, you know? It's like, okay, why was I so easily annoyed earlier with my coworker? Just to keep going back to that example, it's like, wait a second. It's probably harder today because I didn't sleep that well last night. Like, I need to keep these things in perspective and to also give people like a little bit of room, the benefit of the doubt, and like, okay, this person was just completely rude to me. But was it actually about me? Or maybe they didn't have a good night's sleep. Maybe there's something going on at home I don't know about. Maybe they're, you know, just to give people also realizing they're also embodied spirits, that, you know, you don't know the full circumstances of what's going on. So not to be easily offended by every little, you know, offense from our neighbors. But in the same way that it's easy for us to say, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night, so, you know, that's why I was rude to people. It's like, okay, don't just excuse that and then be upset when people are rude to you. Do focus on going to bed. Like, it's one thing if you didn't get a lot of sleep because you're sick. It's another if you stayed up all night watching, I don't know, crummy reality TV. That wasn't a good idea. Like, don't do that because it ruins your next day, you know? To make that sacrifice, to go to bed, to eat in a healthy way, you know, to do some exercise. And even that just means walking outside in God's beautiful creation. All those things factor into the spiritual life.
Absolutely, it does. We're talking about fighting temptation, resisting temptation today here on the show with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert, pastor of Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Salisbury, North Carolina. If you have a question about a temptation that you're facing or have some tips and or story about how you faced temptation and you saw the Lord working in your life, give us a call and join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Let's go to Teresa now, calling in from Southern California. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Mega blessings to you and Relevant Radio and listeners. I am like 82 and low income. At a thrift store, I discovered three brand new ceiling fans. And I took my stuff up front and told them I was going to get the fans. Went back and this lady said, hey, I'm buying all three of these. And so I just said, well, you know what? You can't carry all three of them. I'll just at least take one up there. Oh, yeah, I can. So anyway, took the fan back up. Here she comes. She's only carrying one fan. So I thought, ha-ha. I went back and grabbed that fan. She followed me back, and I had it in my arms, and she was trying to wrestle it out of my arms. Suddenly, my inner voice, you're a Christian. Give it to her. And I popped up and said, oh, you can have it. And that's the very first time that my conscience was so clear. And I'm praying that, man, you know, please seek my guardian angel. I need to hear your voice clearly. So that, and I felt good about it. And they were only $10 each. I mean, you know, it was a steal, okay? So anyway, apparently God wanted, you know, and I know they had cameras in that room. So they saw the whole thing.
Sure. And Teresa, I'm going to give you the corniest joke of the day. I am a fan of that story. That was really good.
Oh, boy. Oh,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
This is not Monday pun day. This is Thursday, Father. We don't do puns on Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Teresa, that was excellent. And this is what I would say too, right? Resisting that, you've got peace now that in a way, like, okay, let's just say if you looked up right now, and you had the fan going that you wrestled out of the arm of that woman, I don't know that you'd be like, man, I'm really happy I got that fan. You'd be like, I can't believe I did that. You know, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I feel like it's a funny mystery of the spiritual life. Like, looking back on things, now we could go into all sorts of different details and have a long discussion on this, but I think in some ways, I would rather look back and say I was the person who was wronged and handled it like that, you know, like, here you go, ma'am. As opposed to, I'm the one who did the wronging, you know, like I, you know, it was completely mean to her. I tipped her basket over. I ran to the front. You know, I mean, to look back and think, I'm not really proud of what I did there, but at least I got the fan. Like, I mean, those false joys, right?
Yep.
Like, okay, you know, when we do things like that, when we cooperate in what our Lord is asking us to do right now, and thank God that, you know, your conscience is speaking up, that you haven't numbed it. And I think that's one of those things about this time of year. We tell ourselves no when we don't have to. You know, like, okay, I'm telling myself no, I cannot have soda for these 40 days. If you break down and have one soda, okay, is it the end of the world? No. But it's kind of like a fire drill. You're telling yourself no. You learn the fact that when I tell myself no, the world doesn't end. I'm actually okay. So then when you do find yourself in a situation like that, when you really do have to tell yourself no, like, would I like to have the fan? Of course. I'm going to hand it over. It's going to be okay. And actually, you come out better in the end than having, you know, absconded with that fan. I mean, it's not worth it. Definitely not. And I get it, fixed income. But remember, our Lord takes care of us, you know, and somehow or another, it's like when we're able to participate in charity, you know, he can't be outdone in generosity. So Teresa, you know, good job. And thank you too for sharing the story. Because I know, and I was thinking about this when you said it, Patrick, it's like, let us know how you're dealing with temptation. I mean, I mentioned the thing about celibacy before too, right? Like mentioning like our own temptations, it's part of what makes confession kind of awkward, right? Like you got to go in there and recognize and own up to the fact that I'm not perfect. I don't have this all handled. In fact, I fell in this way and that. I was kind of nursing this temptation. I was thinking about the thought. I was doing this. To admit the temptation, I mean, it takes humility. Once again, when we humble ourselves before our Lord, I mean, he responds to that, right? Like he resists the proud. He loves the humble. I mean, our Lord loves the childlike. What is a childlike person? One who totally depends on God, who trusts him to provide for things. And Teresa, God bless you in trusting that he'll provide, you know, your cool air, that you're going to get, you know, the circulation from some other means, right? And that's better to get that, to have that kind of trust and to be charitable in that situation than to get in a fight. You know, it's just that wouldn't have been good. So good for you.
Yeah. Teresa, I just loved your call. I loved your energy. I could hear the real joy in your voice as you were sharing that story with us, which is given to you in part because of your selfless giving to another. And thank you for the story. Thank you so much for calling into the Inner Life. And by the way, Father, you mentioned about the owning up to things and that. And you mentioned earlier on in the show of, even this Lent and some of your Lenten disciplines, you've already fallen. And I just want to let you know that we did get an email in from Charlotte, who's listening in Minneapolis. She said, Father, thank you for admitting that you have fallen during this Lent. I have been feeling, she writes, so guilty. I'm back on track now, but now without the guilt. So she really appreciated that. I think we all do. And yeah, it does happen. We fall down. But thanks be to God, he is not deterred by that. And he's given us the great graces of the sacrament of reconciliation, of the opportunity to be reconciled to him and to once again coming into loving relationship with him. You know what? This is a great conversation. We've got so many things yet to talk about. And I can't believe we're this far along in the program already. But we have room for more calls. We have room for more emails. Give us a call at 888-914-9149 with any ways that you face temptation and you have seen the Lord work in your life. Or again, if you have questions about something you're facing right now, how do I deal with this? Call in. Ask our spiritual director, Father John Eckert. We're going to come back with more of The Inner Life right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Welcome back to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149.
That's the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation about resisting temptation with our spiritual director, Father John Eckert, today. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Centovich, our producer, and to Patrick Alog and Miranda Sinaceros taking your phone calls today. Grateful that you have joined us for the show, and as we're talking about something that we all face temptations. And what do we do? What do you do when temptation rolls your way? Let us know at 888-914-9149. Let's go back to the phones. Ed is calling in from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Ed, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I had this plan when I get tempted with really strong sexual temptations or other one, and what I do is I make a deal with God that if I continue to get tempted like that, I'll ask for 100 vocations to the priesthood. So in other words, when the devil keeps tempting me, I'm reassured that I'm going to be helping vocations.
Well, Ed, the only way that I would slightly adjust that, I would say be careful on deals, but at the same time, it's a good sentiment. So what I like to say, especially with those kind of temptations against chastity, which, I mean, let's be honest, we live in a world that very much uses the vice of lust to, I mean, sell us everything to get our attention. I mean, it's in our face. Mm-hmm. It's all over. Yep. And I would say... I got some great advice when I was in college. My spiritual director would say, okay, let's say there's an attractive young woman walking by you. You just immediately turn to prayer. Dear Lord, you did a good job there. That is an attractive young lady. Help me to be chaste. Or let's say that you're married. You know, dear Lord, good job there. Attractive young woman. Help me be faithful to my wife. Or like you said, Ed, like, you know, turn the temptation on the devil's head, like not to hold on to the thought, not to nurse it, not to, you know, start, you know, lusting in your heart. Like our Lord told us in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, don't start to commit adultery in your heart. Immediately turn that temptation on its head. Dear Lord, you know, wow, help me to be chaste. Like I would love for there to be more vocations. I'm going to say Hail Mary right now for 100 more priests. Great. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful thing you can do. That when that thought pops into your head, and remember, when it comes to temptation, I mean, we are not our thoughts. They come from all over the place. Like, watch this. I can say pink elephant, and I bet there are about, you know, however many listeners there are out there right now just thought of a pink elephant. It doesn't take much, right? Like, we are highly, what's the word, suggestible. Like, you don't have to say much for there to be an image in our head. But just because it popped in there, doesn't mean that you're an evil person. Just because, you know, you have an attraction to someone doesn't mean you just did something evil, right? It's when you start to give in to the thoughts, the fantasies. Like I like to say, like, temptations are kind of like birds, right? Let them fly on through your head. Don't let them land. Don't let them nest. Just shoo them away. Keep them going, you know? And if you have 1,000 birds flying through your head in one day, so be it. Keep shooing. And, you know, and also... be careful about where you're looking. You know, it's one of those things. It's a lot easier to not be, let's just say, tempted towards soda if you don't go down the soda aisle in the grocery store, if you're not standing next to the soda fountain, you know, if you're not standing there staring at it all the time, thinking about it, pondering it, looking at it. Okay, when you're doing that, it's like you're putting yourself essentially in the near occasion of having that soda, right? Same thing with sin. I would say when it comes to something like lust, take care of what you do have control over. For God's sakes, don't look at pornography. Stay away from that stuff. Stay off of the internet, you know, especially if you're tempted. And that's the scary thing about this day and age. It used to be like if you wanted that kind of stuff, you had to go to the red light district. Now we have the red light district in our own homes via the internet. Yep. Don't go to those places. Like even if you can do it from the comfort of your home, don't do it. Because, I mean, what do you expect to happen? Stay away from that. Be in control of what you do have control over. Then when it's something you don't have control over, like, you know, you're going for a walk and someone who's kind of scantily clad walks by, or, I mean, for goodness sakes, you're at the beach. We don't even have to talk about that. But like, you know, it's like there are going to be temptations out there you can't control. But if you control what you can, it really helps when it's something that you can't, you know, the billboard, the quick commercial, the halftime show, although I wouldn't even recommend that anymore. You know, so it's just, you have to just be careful about you know, what you're allowing to come into your mind. And then especially if it is something you're not in control of, like you said, Ed, turn it to another purpose. Turn the devil's trick on its head. You're like, okay, fine, you want to tempt me with lust? Lord, I'm going to take this opportunity to say three Hail Marys for an increase in vocations.
Mm-hmm. It's good advice, Father. Thank you so much. Ed, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for spurring this great advice from Father. It's just great to hear great ways of dealing with temptation when they come up all around us, as they do each and every day. That's what we're talking about on the show today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, again, our number is 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. Let's go now to Rocco calling in from the Bronx in New York. Rocco, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I had something happened to me yesterday. I went to confessions because Saturday I promised I wouldn't eat. I like fast on certain things like drinking, and I promised that I would. I gave up to say more prayers and do the book of the Passion, the precious blood of Jesus. So I couldn't do it. It's like things came up. I might pray a little bit, or I'd go to church every day, but I wouldn't be able to do what I planned to do. So I confessed that. And then the priest said to me, well, promise you won't do it anymore. And I'm thinking, well, that and anger. And I leave that, get in the car, we're starting to talk, or something happened, somebody pulls in front, and you start getting angry. Start arguing and getting angry, and it's like, are you kidding me? I did it again, and it's like, it really bothered me because the priest says, promise you won't do it again. I'm thinking, what? I'm thinking, that's a big one. Then I realize, like, how much you hurt God. I think they should say that to everybody. Like, when we go to confession, we're promising God we're not going to do it again. And that's a hard thing to do. So, I mean, it just came up. And then you really feel, I got to go to confessions again now. And, you know, even though I'm a daily committer, you know, you receive the venial sins are forgiven, but I don't even know if that's, when you promise like that, is it turned to a mortal sin? So anyway.
Rocco, I don't think so, buddy. And you've brought up a lot of really good and important points there. Like, you do have to have an amendment to not sin again, right? I mean, you didn't go out there intending, like, I'm just going to yell at people again. I don't care. You didn't do that. You're trying. But, you know, let's be honest. It's like, you know, you don't have control over all the drivers out there, right? You don't have control over everything that's going to happen. And little by little, this is the important thing. You're aware of it. You're trying, you know, and hopefully your angrier action this time after that confession was maybe a little bit less than it would have been a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Why? Because you're trying, you know, like maybe you didn't use choice language. Maybe it's just your blood kind of boiled a little bit, you know, but you didn't actually say anything or you didn't lay into the horn. Like, it's little by little. And, you know, I would say, you know, rather than saying, I promise I won't do this again, you say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to keep trying. And I would say, you know, it's like for it to be a mortal sin, you know, there does have to be like the grave aspect there. And getting upset at someone in the parking lot, I mean, as long as you didn't like run them over or, you know, cuss them out or something, I don't think we moved into the level of grave. You want to keep trying, and you even probably said in your act of contrition, you know, like, and I intend not to sin again or to avoid the near occasion of sin. You're trying, but there's a reason why. Like, for example, here at Sacred Heart, our kiddos' first confessions are this coming Saturday. So please pray for our little guys here at Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, I'm like, fellas, I'm like, okay, everybody, is this, I'm like, which confession is this? It's our first confession. Is it your last confession? No, exactly. And I always say, a good rule of thumb is go to confession, like every month is great, every 2 months is good, but try not to go longer than 3 months, because you keep, you know, examining your conscience, being aware of things. Because if you think about it, 3 months ago was what, December the 7th, right? That was, you know, Advent. I mean, we were coming up on Christmas. I don't know about you, but that feels like a lifetime ago to me.
Yeah.
And so if we can stay up on it, you know, each month you're trying, you're paying attention. It's like, okay, I got mad a couple of times, but it's getting a little bit better. This worked a little bit better, but then you can confess it. And are you going to keep trying not to do it again? Of course. Like, you don't want to come in there just like, I know I'm going to do this again, but whatever. No. I mean, that's one of those caricatures of confession that we get from folks that criticize the church. Like, oh, you can do whatever you want. Just go to confession. That's, I mean, frankly, it's just dumb. You know, like, that's not the way a relationship works. Like, Lord, I am trying. And he knows that you're trying. And remember this, Rocco, like, yes, are our sins an insult to our Lord? Of course they are. But he loves us so much that he gave us his only begotten son. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much. I mean, go look at those stations of the cross. Look at the way he's being treated. And yet, what does he do? He doesn't stop at station four. He keeps going, right? He, like I said, station four, I just said that off the top of my head. That's our Blessed Mother, right? I would be tempted just to stay with her, but no, he keeps going through the insults, through the spitting, through the hitting and the scourging. Why? Because he loves you and he wants to free you from your sin. So what do you need to do? Like, he's given you this life. He wants you to keep going. He's given you the gift of the sacrament. So keep coming. But I will say too, you're right. When you go to Mass, and God bless you for being a daily communicant. I don't know how people do it without daily Mass. I'm not strong enough for that. I need our Lord too much. But when you go and you pray that confiteor, you know, each time you go to daily Mass, yes, it's taking care of venial sins. Nevertheless, never a bad idea to bring them up in confession. You know, it's like those little nicks at the relationship. Never hurts to own it and just to keep working at it.
Rocco, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate that, and appreciate you listening to The Inner Life as well as we're talking today about fighting or resisting temptation. Let's take another phone call. Patrick is calling in from the good land, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, Father. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Just a couple questions with regard to when I was a little kid. Let's go back here just a few years. My mom and dad pounded in our heads as kids that the best prayer to say is act of contrition before you go to bed. And I still do that to this day. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. And then if there is a prayer that might be, you know, more highly recommended than that prayer before you go to bed. And does that, I think I heard from the last caller, that kind of helps with regards to venial sins. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, at Mass, that confiteor, I mean, that takes care of venial sins. But what I would recommend, and I think you're absolutely right, Patrick, praying the act of contrition is very, very good. Keep doing that. One other recommendation I would say to kind of build that up a little bit, the Liturgy of the Hours of the Holy Catholic Church, right? It's priests and religious are bound to pray it. Night prayer is the shortest of the 5 hours that we're obliged to pray. And that begins with an examination of conscience, you know, looking back on the day. What was good? What was bad? How did I respond? Like, you know, what did I do that was good? What did I do that wasn't so good? What did I refrain from that was good to refrain from? In what ways did I not respond to where God was calling me to be charitable? Like, looking at the day, examining the day, making that good examination of conscience. And then each day, you've got at least like one psalm. There's 2 days of the week that have two. They're kind of brief. A really little reading. Some of them are very helpful in resisting temptation. Like on Tuesday, it's from the letter of St. Peter. I mean, it ends talking about the devil and resist him solid in your faith. A couple other little prayers, and then a prayer to our Blessed Mother. Takes like 5 minutes. I mean, sometimes the examination of conscience can go longer. But I would recommend that as a really good way to end the day. I think the Magnificat has a small version of that. You can get it online. There are apps. There's a standalone book of night prayer. But that may be a good way to kind of add to that. But Patrick, your parents were right. And the act of contrition is a wonderful thing to pray before you go to bed.
And that can set us up for the next day as well, right, Father? I mean, in terms of facing temptation, just having that look over the course of our day and say, yeah, okay, these are the ways I can do better tomorrow.
Absolutely. I remember when I was in seminary, my formation director said that, remember, tomorrow begins the night before. So if you decide, I'm just going to stay up real late, have another drink or two, you're ruining tomorrow. Like, how are you going to get up early to pray when you cut your sleep time by so much? It's sort of like what Nick was saying before about the body having an impact.
Yeah.
So make that good act of contrition, get to bed at a decent time, get up early and pray, and keep resisting the devil, and he will flee.
Amen to that. Great conversation today, Father. May we have a blessing from you, please?
Absolutely. Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and St. Michael the Archangel, may our Lord drive far from you the devil, help you to resist temptation, and help you to grow in his love. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Something we need not just in Lent, but all the year through, every day, is good advice on how to fight off temptation. If you missed any part of the program, go back and find it on relevantradio.com/innerlife. Coming up next, of course, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, another way of fighting off temptation, with our celebrant today, Father Ed Looney. Tomorrow on the program, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard. Hope you can join us. Until then, grace and peace.